So I'm a millennial. So save your judgments. I don't know if that was a trigger word for you or what you think of us millennials. And so, again, people have a lot of opinions about us. But one thing I was thinking about, you know, what is defines my generation or things that we love. And I was thinking about how, you know, I never remember a time where I didn't have a computer in my house. And, of course, I recognize the incredible privilege that was. But I remember dial-up, and I remember AOL, and I remember how AOL, I think, sent you a CD almost every day in the mail to get you to get their service. My AOL IM name was Musicals, because I was really into musicals. I had an email that was Broadway Freak. Sadly, I had that email till I was 24 years old. Yes, I applied for jobs with that email. I don't know why. I remember when Facebook came out, I was in the original group of that when you only could be on that unless you were in college. I love Instagram because I love photography. I love Twitter. I also hate Twitter at the same time. I don't get Snapchat, so I'm getting a little bit too old for that. And I really don't really understand TikTok, although I do enjoy the funny videos that are sent. But the one thing that I think we can all agree on, whether you're a millennial or a boomer or generation, which my husband loves to call the young ones Generation Fortnite because they love that game, is memes. I live for memes. I'm sure you know what they are. It's usually just a still picture with some funny text on top of it. And I came across one a couple weeks ago on my favorite Instagram follow, Best Christian Memes, that was this. So if you can't read it, it says, "Be not afraid," and then, "Sir, this is the scariest moment of my life." So we know that this creature didn't visit Mary or Zechariah. It was the angel Gabriel. But I think this sentiment would be the same. I mean, I think if Mr. Rogers was an angel and came and appeared to me in his friendly red cardigan, his khakis, his casual sneakers, and Daniel the Tiger puppet on his hand, I still would be terrified. I mean, can you imagine this angel appearing and giving you news that not only rocks your world, but changes all of history? We're about to read this story that we've read probably every Christmas, and I think we forget that these characters in the story today, that they didn't know how the story was going to unfold. They didn't know how the story was going to be unwrapped. They were sitting with bated breath to see how it all came forth. And I think perhaps we should too, that every year when we come to this story, even though it's familiar, as we light the candles, as we sing the songs, that we should wait with bated breath the coming of a king. Today's passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It is the Annunciation. So would you hear these words from the Gospel of Luke? "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' Then Mary said, 'Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her." the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So again, this is a famous story. Many of us know this story very well. It's the birth of Jesus. It's the birth of Jesus being foretold. It's when we get introduced to Mary, who is a very central and key figure to all this. And I'll say much more about her later on. But I feel like I do want to clear something up. It wasn't like Mary was sitting around wondering if she was going to be the chosen one. The girls in town weren't waiting. It wasn't like they were waiting around to see who got the crown of homecoming queen. Like, being chosen wasn't some sort of annual event. Mary and Joseph did not have matching mums, which I think is the weirdest Texas tradition. And so I think we forget the gravity of this appearance by the angel. Having angels come probably wasn't a usual thing. It wasn't like people gathered at the temple and said, oh yeah, my Uncle Jimmy, an angel appeared to him at the well last week. This was a big deal. I love in some translation, it says that Mary was confused and disturbed. Rightly so. Can't you imagine when this angel appears, when Gabriel starts speaking, that Mary probably had a million thoughts in her head. And yet at the same time, her mind probably went to blank. She must have been captivated by what was before her. See, when the angel first tells her that she is favored, this is actually a callback to Hannah, the mother of Samuel, back in 1 Samuel 1. She says, let your servant find favor in your sight. When Gabriel proclaimed, we see more callbacks to scripture from 2 Samuel. It says, I will make for you a great name. And Gabriel confirms by saying, he will be great. Jesus will be great. Again, it goes on that God would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And Gabriel says that this baby, this child, would reign over the house of Jacob forever. And also that this child would be the son of Most High, which in 2 Samuel it says, I will be his father and he will be my son. So there's a lot packed into this short passage, a lot of callbacks. And I think about all the major stories that happened before. I pick up my Bible and I think, gosh, so much happened before this point. There was a lot of big yeses to God. We think about Noah saying yes to building an ark in the middle of a desert when there was no rain. We think about Moses saying yes to God to lead the people out of Egypt. We see Joshua say yes to following Moses. We see Ruth say yes to God by staying with Naomi and then meeting Boaz, who is a descendant of Christ. We see people like Rahab, David, Samuel, Jonathan, Solomon, Daniel, Hosea, so many more say yes to God. We see prophets say yes to God, and that was a difficult job. No one really wanted that. And so we see people say over and over again yes to God, that we almost forget that we said no to God a lot as well. We have these big moments of people saying yes, but I bet if we were to put it side by side, I bet we said no to God a lot more. And not necessarily saying the actual word no, but in our actions. The way that we didn't follow commandments, the way that we didn't love our neighbor, all these things that we did, we essentially were saying no to God. I think that is one reason why Mary's response is so powerful. Because for so long, people had been telling God no. You know, some theologians will argue that Mary didn't have a choice and she had to say yes, that she was forced into it, but I don't believe that. I think she had every ability to say no. It's quite obvious that we have the ability to say no. We've been saying it since Genesis. I wonder if when Mary said yes, let it be, that it maybe was a relief to God, that God finally got a yes. I mean, can you imagine getting no for so long from the people that you loved so dearly, and then you eventually get a yes? That must have been incredible. Maybe you know what it's like to get a yes after you've gotten no for so long. For me, I'll never forget Christmas Eve 2018 for the rest of my life. Now, before I share this story, I have to admit I was a little hesitant to share it because I don't want you to get to get the wrong message, or I don't want this to be a trigger for you because it can be a painful thing. My point in sharing what I'm about to say is merely to convey that getting a yes, what it can do for us, how it can feel, and how it can change everything. So Christmas Eve 2018, my husband Scott is also a pastor, and we had been working at Lovers Lane United Methodist Church. And we had just gotten done with our 10 a.m. family Christmas Eve service, and we were able to go home because our next service wasn't until 6 p.m. that night. And we were in the modern Christmas Eve service, and at Lovers Lane, the last couple years, we've done this kind of mix of music and drama where we all had different parts. We wore modern clothes and simply would come up and do kind of a monologue and sit back down. Now, I was playing Mary, and Scott was playing Joseph. So we're on our way home, and we're kind of bickering because we're full of the Christmas spirit on Christmas Eve, clearly. And my husband is saying, you really need to go home and take a test. And if you're a female, you know exactly what test he's talking about. But I didn't want to because I knew what the answer was going to be. I had become quite familiar with the answer of no. For those of you that have struggled with infertility or know someone that has, taking a test is not a fun experience. It's not like the movies where you're holding your spouse and you're just watching and just with glee and excitement. See, I'd gotten no so many times. You know, the first three were kind of hard, but then when it turns into six and then 12 and then 15 and then 18 and then 20, and you really start to lose count. So I went home, I took a test, I put it on the back of the toilet and went on my way because I wasn't going to sit there to wait to see the answer that I had gotten so many times before. I went and did chores, I wrapped presents, and then eventually I was like, oh, I guess I should go check it. So imagine my surprise when it said pregnant on Christmas Eve. I was like Mary, a little confused myself. And yes, in case you were wondering, my performance of Mary that night at Christmas Eve was very Oscar-worthy because I think they call that method acting, when you really take over the role. But getting a yes when you expect a no is thrilling. It really does make you feel like nothing is impossible. We forget that God took an enormous risk to invite us, one of us, into the story. Because God had gotten so many no's, it was no guarantee, again, that she would say yes. And so God invited Mary to play such a pivotal role. Without her, there would be no story. She ushered into the world this new life. She brought into the world the light of the world. She breathed for God. Do you ever think about that when Mary was carrying Jesus, that she was one that was taking breath for him? When you think about how the Holy Spirit overcame her and the Holy Spirit was present with in creation and then comes and overtakes her, that Mary gets to carry out creation as it continues. This was groundbreaking. Mary is so incredibly important because she's part of making things possible because God first made them possible. Her response of let it be, which is a yes, just allows so much to happen. You know, there's such a holy mystery around the birth of Christ, especially the conception. It's more than magic. But I do think there's something we can learn from the magic of Christmas time to help us deepen our faith. At Christmas time, so many of us, especially kids, believe that, man, nothing is impossible, right? I mean, that's why kids ask for a PS5, which apparently you can't get anywhere because people keep buying it and then selling it on eBay for a really big price. Kids ask for a horse, even if they've never ridden a horse or they have no place to put the horse. A Barbie dream house. I think girls still ask for that. I'm not for sure. Or kids ask for the newest iPhone even when they're 8 years old and they have like four people to call. You know, kids think, oh yeah, it's possible. And I think for us, we need a little bit more of that. I think this story really teaches that nothing is impossible for God. And I think maybe the problem is that we are just so used to saying no. It's almost a reflex. I mean, I say it to my kids a lot, so maybe that's my issue. But I think we say no because we want to protect ourselves. We want to avoid a disappointment or whatever it may be. But I think we need to be saying yes to God much more. You know, in this story, when Mary, in verse 34, when she says, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin," I think so many of us want to close the story and say, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's a no. We give a no before we even consider that there could be a yes. So friends, I think for us to fully unwrap it all, to unwrap and understand this whole story, to understand Advent and what it means for us, I think that Advent is a season for saying yes. Yes to change. Yes to stopping something. Yes to starting something. Yes to a new beginning. Yes to a challenge. Yes to a big ask. Yes to whatever your fill in the blank is. Such a little word, three letters, can change everything for us. I know I spent a significant portion talking about the yes that Mary gave to God, but the craziest, the most shocking, most scandalous part of this story really is that God said yes to us, that God took another chance. That again, after all the no's, all the rejection, all the ways that we had walked away from God, that God was willing to put God's self out there again, to take a chance. And we all know that we ended up still rejecting God. We rejected Christ. And yet, Jesus continues to say yes to us, to give grace, to give love, and to forgive. That is a truth we get to unwrap today. Now, I don't possibly know what God may be pressing upon you, what decision you've been thinking about saying yes to. Maybe it's tiny, maybe it's major, I don't know. But the story that we read today, this announcement and the response that happened, not only changed Mary's life, but ours as well, and all of history. Advent season needs to be a season of saying yes to things. And so I hope, most importantly, that we are saying yes to God. So much can happen, my friends, with a simple three-letter word. So let's be a people of yes. Amen.